Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
All right, WTCM, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio. Mr. Dennis Prout is in, certified financial planner from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ron. Good morning. Great to be here on August 16, 2018. We have a guest with us, Kate Pearson from the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy. And I am so excited, as I shared with Kate earlier, to have her join us because of the scope, the depth, the incredible nature of this campaign. You can maybe already sense it in my voice. I feel the responsibility and as well as the opportunity to talk about this. And I'm really glad today, Kate, that you would join us. Thank you, first of all.
Thank you for having me, Dennis.
Thank you. Your official title with the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy, if you would.
Sure. My title is Senior Charitable Giving Specialist.
All right.
And that means that I work with folks one-on-one who are interested in using their resources to advance the mission of land protection in northern Michigan.
Incredible. And you have already had, the Conservancy has had an amazing impact already in this area. Now, to preface this conversation, I want to talk specifically about the fact that I understand that everybody's goals are different. This is not meant to be a should campaign for those who might want to charitably give, but it is an opportunity campaign for those who might want to think and look and see what this might mean for them and the ways that they might leverage what they already own or what they might already be thinking, given the pressure, and now moving to the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy. From a business standpoint, how I look at this is, my gosh, this is incredible what's happening in northern Michigan. At the same time, I have this somewhat nagging concern about, gosh, how do we preserve what's still here, and what are the opportunities that the Conservancy presents given this campaign? So let's move on to that now. And that's what brings you here, Kate, and this campaign. So behind the scenes, the goal was to raise $71 million, and that was the private part of it, raised $53 million in the last how many years, Kate?
It's been almost 3 years that we've been involved in the quiet phase of the campaign.
Okay.
And we've had some really early heroes who helped us secure some properties, option properties, get them out of harm's way long enough to give us a fighting chance. Hmm. We've been really buoyed by our community's response and the number of people who really understand the threat and want to join in this effort to protect things while we can. And the urgency is all around us everywhere we look. You know, it's in that respect, with the economy rebounding, development moving along quickly here in northern Michigan, and so many people loving and enjoying all the same things that we do, the story of the urgency has been readily visible throughout this whole time.
Great. So it's easily seeable by people as they drive around. And obviously, they're getting it. They're seeing some of this pressure. So the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy was formed when and by what organization, if you would? Tell us about
sure.
That.
We were formed in 1991 by Rotary Charities. Rotary Charities of Traverse City, an incredibly visionary effort in 1991. Rotary Charities did a survey to the local community, trying to understand how the community would like it to invest its fairly newfound wealth at that time. And one of the things that were prioritized by community members in the survey even then was balancing development with the protection of the most special places. So balancing development with land protection. And yes, Rotary Charities awarded the very first grant. And Rob Collier and his friends at Rotary Charities hired our first and still existing executive director, Glenn Chown. So,
wow. Obviously a huge history. I'm surprised. I honestly didn't know it went back all the way to 1991. That's fantastic.
I think that I could be wrong, but I think that first Rotary investment was about $50,000. So I think it was a pretty good return on investment.
Excellent.
For our community.
You bet. I looked through the list of the number of properties, and as I drove by Acme, I saw. I didn't realize it. I'm sure I did, but I didn't, that you were involved. Grand Traverse was directly involved in helping preserve some of the land right there in Acme.
Sure.
And then several others, too. If you would highlight some of those properties that have been preserved, what are some of the highlights that you've seen yourself in terms of its history and preservation?
The exciting thing is everywhere I look, I see properties that are the Conservancy's been a part of. Right here in the heart of our city, our region, I think of the historic barns, the open space, the Acme shoreline, headed north, Maple Bay Farm, headed south, Timbers, natural area on Long Lake, all the
Timbers,
way.
Timbers, which was originally owned by the Boy Scouts, is that correct?
It was a Girl Scout camp.
It was a Girl Scout camp, the Girl Scout side of that.
Yeah.
So you were able to preserve the Girl Scout camp. Which
sure.
was under threat of being developed. Is that correct?
Yes. And one way that we can, there are a number of ways that we can help protect land. But one thing that we do is at times assist municipalities with goals they have for their own parks and recreation department. So, for instance, in Acme Township, we helped Acme create a park that they wanted to have. In Long Lake Township with the Timbers, we helped Long Lake Township create a park that had been a hope and dream of theirs. So we don't always need to own and manage land as a nature preserve. One way that we can help protect land and help protect access to nature for our residents and visitors is by assisting local municipalities.
So you assist them how? How does that work?
We're able to provide technical expertise in a number of ways. One is in the real estate negotiation itself. We have a lot of experience and a really successful track record in securing grant monies from the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. And that's a very interesting pot of money in our state that we've been able to leverage, over $75 million, I think, into our region since our inception from that pot of money. And
incredible.
It's an incredible amount of money.
Oil and gas mineral rights revenues.
Mineral right revenues.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The thing about that is that only local units of government can apply for that money, but a lot of townships don't have the staff capacity or the expertise to actually become involved in everything that it takes
to figure out how to get that done.
And so that's a way that we can be involved, lend that technical support, even heading to Lansing to advocate for and defend the grant. And we've been disproportionately successful in this region at leveraging that money up north.
That's great to hear. You've had, because of the people that you know, if you will, as well as the process that you've been able to understand and learn over the years,
mm-hmm.
you've been able to leverage that gifting area significantly for this region.
Yes, and I think one thing I'm really, really stoked about as a person who does fundraising is that we've been able to match almost dollar for dollar every private donation from a private individual with a dollar from public funding at the state or federal level. So
you're almost 100%.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So you're batting almost 1,000 in baseball terms there, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, eh? So in terms of the gifting that's occurring from individuals and corporations to the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy, you've been almost being able to match it 100% through your own efforts.
Correct.
Through these other gifting agencies.
Yeah, the leverage story is really remarkable, and I can't think of another nonprofit that's had the opportunity or been able to be successful at that. It makes me feel like people giving at any level have an opportunity to really make a difference because their gifts are, even my family's smaller annual gift is leveraging our staff time to help with these types of grants.
Incredible. So you've seen very small gifts and very large gifts, a variety, given the brochure that I was reviewing.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared to me that the organization was open to all of those.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. I think the smallest gift I've ever personally received was about 35 cents. And
that's great.
It all works together. And that's the fabulous thing in this community. What we're giving to is our own lifestyle here and our own sense of connection to one another and to the landscape.
I took a picture this morning out east of our house, and it was so incredible just to get the picture of the fog in the Tobico Creek Range, if you will. It's crazy. It's that gorgeous. And I can't tell you personally the number of times I've taken pictures in the morning, early morning, and here we are obviously in northern Michigan appreciating what we've got, and you're able to help preserve that through thinking bigger, if you will, and leveraging what you know and what's going on. And I want to talk about that after the break, some of the things that you've done and seen and what the intent is for the Conservancy going forward, and then how people might participate in different ways in assisting that through easements and all that other, some of the mechanics, not necessarily mm-hmm. the legal side, which is what you're not here for, but to talk about some ways people might help you and themselves. And we have a call.
You do have a call from somebody I believe you might know. It's Heidi from Prout Financial Design.
Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. Thanks for calling in.
Heidi-ho.
You had a personal story yourself about this as we were talking this morning, and I asked Heidi to call in, and thank you for calling. So
sure.
Tell us about your own experience.
Yeah, well, you know, like so many people up here, my family has a connection and a legacy from our grandparents and our great-grandparents. And my great-grandfather gave some land to the Boy Scouts. It was called Gilbert Pines. And several years ago, they found they no longer had a use for that land, and it was in its natural state. And the Land Conservancy was great because they were able to work with the township and our family, which was drawn back into this process due to some of the wording in the donation of the land. And they helped the township raise the funds to be able to create the Cedar Run Natural Area, the Cedar Run Creek Natural Area, which is out by Long Lake. So it was, we were really excited because these are all the areas that all of us love so much. And we want to keep that feeling and keep the beauty here because that's what draws us here all the time.
That's so funny. I was in a Boy Scout troop helping head that when our son was a part of it, Troop 35, and they were taking advantage of the Gilbert Pines, and they found that they eventually took a less and less advantage of it. And so it morphed into the situation mm-hmm. that Heidi's talking about. And that her, what was your great-grandfather's name again, Heidi, please?
His name was Palm Gilbert, and he was the circuit court judge here in Traverse City.
Well, wow. Heidi, thank you so much for sharing that story. And it's really part of the perfect storm of the threat here to our natural areas is this reality that families aren't sending their kids off to camp in the same kind of way that they did in the middle part of the last century. And so a lot of these camp properties are now underutilized, maybe they're non-producing assets, and they're needing to be sold. And most of them are just spectacular pieces of property. I think right now one of the projects that we're working on is the former Camp Topaico in Kalkaska County, which is about 1,300 acres of just pristine land, and it has the headwaters of one of the branches of the Manistee River bubbling right out of the ground. I mean, in terms of the detrimental impact of that parcel being developed, you know, is incredible. But, you know, it was on the open market. And the same with the Timbers Girl Scout Camp, Camp Maplehurst, another project that we've just completed that is within the chain of lakes where, you know, Traverse City's drinking water ultimately is impacted by the quality of the chain of lakes. So these camps, they're big properties, they're expensive, valuable properties, but we've been fortunate for decades to have them all remain in their natural state without threat. But now is the time that many of them are hitting the market simultaneously.
There seems to be a confluence of events that are occurring here that is just amazing.
The perfect storm, absolutely.
It really is. To step back for a moment and think about all of these situations occurring and the opportunity and also the responsibility that the Conservancy has to try to make this work, eh?
Right, and part of the reason that I feel like the time...
By the way, thank you, Heidi, for calling.
Oh,
appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thank you, Heidi.
All righty.
There is a perfect storm. I appreciate you bringing that up, Dennis, because there's this issue with the camps. There's the age of our demographic. You know, the older generation, my parents' generation, is passing and leaving properties in the hands often of a group of siblings that really don't have a way to divide the value evenly without selling. It's just what makes sense. And then there's baby boomers wanting to cash out on a property maybe to fund retirement. Mm-hmm. There's the spectacular popularity of this region and the number of people who are moving here or want to retire here. So there's a lot at play right now.
So the Conservancy itself actually has the resources to actually purchase a property and compensate these people, if it makes sense for you and the organization as well as them, mm-hmm. to purchase on the open market a property as well, among other things.
That is one tool that we have, and we've been really fortunate in this campaign to have some real conservation angels step up and help us with just the sheer volume of work in front of us. You know, we've had a couple of families who have helped us option properties or purchase properties outright by providing us with a small interest or a loan with no interest. And really, we couldn't have done it without that help on a couple of these properties, because they were just they were valued at too high a price for us to do all at once.
The prices were significant, and so you needed some assistance there, but you were still able to get it completed then in the end.
Well, we have on a couple of these, like Maplehurst and the addition to Tobago, and yet still the Upper Manistee Headwaters were fundraising for. And I want to mention that there's some ways that you can get out relatively quickly and be on some guided hikes and see a couple of these places.
You're having
with
some
your
tours that are coming up.
We are. And let's see, and all of these, you can go straight to our website at www.gtrlc.org. Look at events or click on the calendar. But Friday, the proposed Torch River Nature Preserve, Friday evening. Evening hikes are beautiful. The quality of the light is just so, you know, golden and lovely to get outdoors in the evening.
Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., August 17th.
And this Saturday...
Now, this Torch River Nature Preserve, I read about that this morning. It looks incredible. About, 200 acres or so? Is that correct? Yeah.
That's a beautiful...
this morning.
It's a beautiful place. This Saturday, I'll be at Maple Bay at the farmhouse. Renovating the farmhouse there is a part of this campaign. And then we'll be hiking with some of the naturalists on our staff from Maple Bay to the adjacent property at Tobago. And, boy, if you have not seen Tobago Marsh or Tobago Pond with your own eyes, I barely can talk about it. It's so incredibly beautiful and special and so close to town. So I'd really welcome anyone to join me out there this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Then on August 23rd, on Thursday, there'll be an opportunity to see the Maplehurst Natural Area. Maplehurst is out between Elk Lake and Torch Lake. This is a former camp property, now protected forever. And it has a perched lake on it, a really unusual thing. You climb up high, you know, you're high as you drive, you're a few degrees at a time, and you just don't expect to see a lake at the top of a hill, perched lake, left over from glaciers moving through that area.
And that is in Maplehurst again?
That's at Maplehurst. And then Friday the
20th. Maplehurst is Thursday, August 23rd. Is that the one you're referencing?
Yes.
Great, from 6 to 8. So there's that's the third that we've discussed. Go ahead.
And then Friday, August 24th, the Upper Manistee Headwaters Preserve. I should say the proposed Upper Manistee Headwaters Preserve.
That's a situation that you're working on.
The former Camp Topaico in Boy Scout Camp in Kalkaska County.
Speaking of camps, there it is right there, eh?
Yep, fabulous property, beautiful inland lake, as well as multiple kettle ponds of all different kinds.
What's a kettle pond?
A kettle pond is it's a type of small lake or pond, very deep, formed as the glaciers left our area. There'll be... naturalists from our stewardship staff on that hike explaining those things more technically and more accurately. But what you see out there that's been stunning to our staff is the complete lack of invasive species of any kind. And our director of stewardship said if he only does one thing in his career with the Regional Land Conservancy and it's protecting this property, that he will have... created his own legacy. I mean, it's that special.
Wow. Hi, this is amazing just to have this conversation with you because this is out of my realm. I admit it. I'm not familiar with this, but obviously your passion and what's happening here is you're very good at sharing that, and I really appreciate it. This is this will be very interesting. In fact, as you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, when can Jill and I join you on one of these or two of these? This is great. So go ahead. Sorry.
The really exciting thing right now, I think, is that everyone in our region has an opportunity to be involved with the future of our region. And if when you look at a map of the properties that are in play right now, there are some that are more related to access to nature and character, like Acme Beach, just being able to be within an urban setting but not have divided our community from the natural resource. You know, to open up a beach like that is really
special. I drove
by
it this morning, honestly, looked at it more closely because I was aware that you'd been involved or the Conservancy had been involved, and just gorgeous.
22 buildings came down to create that
really
beach. But the other thing is that, Dennis, the internally at the Regional Land Conservancy, we have a priority land atlas. So our staff has analyzed over 12,000 individual parcels of land, and we've scored and weighted those based on their overall size, their adjacency to protected land, their impact on water quality, botanical habitat, wildlife habitat. And so,
what you've got is you've got a way to rate these different properties according to something that you have internally there to gauge the importance of each with your own score, and then to go after those with the most meaningful use or impact that you can have.
Yes, and so it's part of what alerted us to the level of threat that some of our natural resources here are under at this time, because for the first time ever, we found ourselves with multiple top priority, you know, certainly in the top 50, many times in perhaps the top 10 lands of all the lands here in northern Michigan that we've analyzed being for sale or about to be for sale or changing hands all at the same time. And we
because of this passing generation, which you referenced earlier.
Because of all these things, the camps, the rebounding economy, the demographic, the discovery of this region at a whole different level.
So the price appreciation has motivated those who own it to say, oh my gosh, we got to figure out what to do with this, or the highest and best use, if you will.
Right.
And then that's presented an opportunity and responsibility for you. And that's where part of this fundraising then came in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So we've been, and you know, I think we're really fortunate that the Regional Land Conservancy was, you know, well over 20 years old when this development happened, because I don't know that we could have done this 15 years ago. We wouldn't have had the track record of success for families to trust us with spectacular seven-figure loans and gifts, those kinds of things. And we wouldn't have had the science behind us to really comprehend that we were at a tipping point. And so the timing is right. It's an alarming time, I feel like, in our region for people who love the natural world here. But it's an extremely hopeful time because we've got the skills, we've got the passion of our community, and there are so many ways that people can be involved.
All right. Now we're going to talk about the work that the Conservancy, how you can be involved, the different ways, and then I'll talk mechanics from a financial planning perspective as well.
Sure. There are a number of ways that people can be involved. The simplest way is through a gift of cash, of course. We can also, we're set up to receive gifts of appreciated stock. That's a very popular way to give for
individual stock is a great way to give, yes.
Mm-hmm. We also receive bequests, charitable remainder trusts, and other legacy gifts. And I can give an example of this for myself. I grew up here. This is my home. This is my heart, this region. And yet, even understanding the gravity of what's at stake, the reality is my family's individual annual gift is not going to increase a lot throughout this campaign. It's going to increase some. But we sat down as a family and we decided to put 50 times our annual gift into our estate plan for the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy. And the reason that that matters so much is that some of this money, some of this $71 million, we don't need right now. This work is forever. And so people's estate gifts that go to the stewardship of these lands become a part of that legacy. And so that was a way that my family could stretch, could reach, could join hands with the community in being successful with this campaign. We can also receive gifts of land, and we often get phone calls and that we aren't able to respond affirmatively around receiving a gift of land, because any land that is protected by a conservation easement, we are legally obligated to monitor forever. You know, those are deed restrictions with teeth that we have a legal responsibility to to monitor. So we can't accept all land, but if a parcel of land meets our land protection criteria, and particularly if it's a parcel of land that has the potential to impact the community or the ecosystem in a positive way, we're very interested in that. Because here's the thing, if a donation of land can work in a family's mathematical and financial story problem, it's money that doesn't need to be raised from local individuals. And so then those monies can go other places. So gifts of land are really important to us.
Okay.
People can also donate a conservation easement on their land. Similarly, we don't accept the opportunities for every easement that someone might like to have, but if it meets our land protection criteria that's appropriate for an easement, again, that's money that doesn't need to be raised from local individuals.
And then they can get a significant deduction for having done that.
Yes.
Tax deduction.
Yep. We also, a big impact for us is memorial and tribute gifts. When someone has a loved one or someone meaningful to them who has passed, often they'll have their memorial donations in lieu of flowers or along with flowers come to the Land Conservancy, and those things really add up. Mm-hmm. They really add up.
So don't discount what those gifts might be, even if you think it's going to be 20 years before that gift might occur.
True.
It's amazing how different that can make, what a difference it can make.
And I'm here to tell you personally, and the studies show that even the smallest gifts, they change a person. You know, your brain gets loaded with these oxytocin and all the good feel-good stuff. This, you know, Cleveland Clinic and Mayo, and they've done studies about the value of giving to the individual person in their brain. But my experience is that I have that experience when I give to the Conservancy at that moment. But then, as I move through the region and see over and over and over again the impact of that gift, you know, that good feeling just continues.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't agree more. So the giving itself, and it brings me to our own situation. About 2 years ago, I announced to our children that 100% of our own retirement accounts was going to charity. And just personally, and I announced it to them, partially holding my breath, because I didn't know how they would respond. I didn't know that they'd be positive. Obviously, we know our children, but I didn't know what their, and I couldn't believe how positive they were about that. So certain gifts can make the most sense. And I went on to explain to them, the charities are the contingent beneficiary, the second beneficiary of those accounts. Jill will receive it first. What she could do if she wanted would be to disclaim a portion of it and have it go directly to those charities even while she's alive, and she can see that then passing on to those charities. Mm-hmm. But she can make that decision. So the power of just that one example of, in essence, sending tax-infested money, the IRAs, the 401ks, or one or any part of them, through a charitable gift at your passing can be incredible, because then it's never taxed money. And it'll save, as you're many already there, 30, maybe 40% in tax by giving that direct to that charity. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is, you can actually give your required minimum distribution each year up to and including $100,000 each year.
Many of our donors take advantage of that.
It's incredible, because many of us now cannot write these off. They're not deductible anymore. They're not tax deductible, our gifts, but they're not included in income through what's called the QCD, or the Qualified Charitable Distribution. So second option in terms of giving now, if you are 70 and a half, that's the rule. You have to be 70 and a half to take advantage of this. And obviously then you're subject to these required minimum distributions. What a great way to give current gifts and have it bypass tax. And you get to see the benefit right now of what you might be doing. Obviously tend to be smaller gifts, but a way to help the organization itself, the charity of your choice. In this case, it might be the Grand Traverse conservancy as well.
Another thing I've seen is, and I mentioned earlier about the import of estate gifts to the long-term stewardship of these lands. The flip side of that is that we've had people say, wow, the cash need is so significant at this time, I'm going to take all or a portion of what I'd planned for the conservancy to receive when I die and give it to you now. Because they want to be a part of supplying the on-the-ground cash need in this current environment. So both things are really important.
So it depends on, obviously, your individual situation. So gifts of appreciated stock. If you've seen a stock that you own that's appreciated significantly and you don't want to pay the capital gains on it and you want to get a full deduction, if you can deduct it, everyone's different again, but it may wind up being deductible in your own tax bracket and giving that direct to the Grand Traverse Conservancy. That stock then benefits them and yourself through that gift. So it may be a tax benefit. Each situation is different. Take a look at that and how you might name this particular organization through a will, trust, or a foundation. All kinds of ways.
All kinds of ways. And worth noting, too, that an awful lot of companies have matching gift programs. And I wanted to mention that because I feel like sometimes money's left on the table when an employee is already charitably minded and just isn't tuned into the fact that their employer does have a matching gift program. So ask at work. Yes. See if you can have your gift doubled before it even goes out the door.
And in successive programs in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking more about this charitable giving opportunity for those who might give, both in current tax benefits, income benefits to you in some cases, and as well as ultimate gifts to organizations like the Grand Traverse Conservancy. Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show. What a great opportunity, and I wish you well in the final approximately $18 million that you're raising from the Grand Traverse region. And how do they contact you and or the Conservancy? How do they get in touch?
Sure. You can call our office, 231-929-7911, or send us an email through our website at gtrlc.org.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.